Good morning. And how are you? Blessed. That Lent's almost over. Anyway, we are blessed indeed. And, you know, I just got off. I'm finally done with missions and that here after 2 weeks in a row. And yesterday I was in Jacksonville. And it was great to be there speaking at Eucharistic Congress. And His Eminence Cardinal Wuerl was there. And I was tired because, you know, I'm always complaining about the entire today. I'm like beyond tired. But he had just came and flew in from Rome. Just flew in from Rome because he's on the Bishops Committee. He's one of the ones that makes the Bishops United States. And so he just came in, and then he got up yesterday, and he had a wonderful talk in the morning, and then he had the Mass. And the guy is 77 years old, but he still looks like he was, 50. And he still had all this energy, and I thought, I would have been dead. I'd have been just like, oh, please don't bother me, like I was most of last night and today. Just don't anybody bother me, And so here's this man that was proclaiming the gospel of Jesus. And then after he did it, I did it, and I did it the night before. But when we listen to the gospels today, it was the reality that the one question everybody asks you, me, His Eminence, the Cardinal Wuerl, whatever, whoever we happen to be, if we call ourselves Christians, is they're all asking us silently the same thing. Sir or ma'am, I would like to see Jesus. And our job, of course, is to show the world Jesus. And again, we'll all do it in our different personalities, but we got to do that. And I just love to tell the story I've told many times. I got it from somebody else years and years ago, but it's a true story, and it's just to make us reflect on what that means. And again, it was a man who was captured in the Second World War. He was an American, and he was a Christian, and he was captured and was thrown in a prisoner of war camp. And they didn't treat him well, of course. He was a prisoner of war. But at the same time, there was a Japanese man that was trying to help the American. And the Japanese man, since he was a traitor, they tortured horribly. And so every day they would throw the Japanese man in with the American, and the American would take his own food because they didn't feed the Japanese man, and he'd give it to the Japanese man. And then he'd take and he'd try to wash the man's wounds as best he could. And he did this for about a month. And then one day when they threw the Japanese man in with the American knew he wasn't going to make it. And he thought, I've shared everything with this man except for Jesus. And so he knelt next to him and he goes, you're probably going to die tonight. But if you just surrender your life to Jesus, you will live forever. And what did the Japanese man say to the American? If this Jesus is anything like you, I can't wait to meet him. And that's got to be about us. That our wives need to be able to look at us and say, oh, honey bun, if Jesus is anything like you, I can't wait to meet him. Huh? Our husbands should be able to look at you and say, oh, sweetie pie, if Jesus Christ is anything like you, I can't wait to meet him. Huh? Our parents should be able to say that about us kids. The kids should be able to say that about our parents. Can your neighbors say that about you? The people that live next door to you, you say you're a Christian. Oh, ma'am or sir, if Jesus is anything like you, I can't wait to meet him. And that's been causing me, I tell the story every mission. So since I've done like 4 or 5 missions in the last month, I've been like, keep reflecting on that. And then the other day, I was in the mission in Columbus, and when I do a mission, when I do any kind of talk, I'm kind of strong. I don't know if you knew. And this girl, she had to be maybe 17 years old. And she put in the top of it, she handed me a note, and usually I'm petrified when someone writes me a note. And so, and she put, 8:50 at night. So it was the end of my 4-day mission on Thursday night at the end. And she said, "Her father," and I, "Oh, thank you." And then I went over and I go, "Please." And so I read it, and she says, "I love your style, Father. Huh? You keep doing it. Don't change. My sister thinks you're kind of abrasive, but I think it's okay." And I'm like, "Am I abrasive?" I'm like, I was kind of like, "Really?" And then I sat there, and so I had a drive to from Columbus at 9:30 up to Cleveland because I had to fly out of Cleveland on Friday morning at 6 o'clock. So I put my, I was talking to Eucharistic Congress, so I put my Eucharist, I went online and I was listening to my talk from the Eucharistic Congress I did in Atlanta. And as I start listening to that, I thought, I am more an abrasive. I wouldn't listen to me at all. Am I kidding me? I was just like, who would listen to me? And that really, I was listening, and the more, I said that. And I thought, that's horrendous. I'm sure nobody'd say, oh, Father, if Jesus Christ is anything like you, I can't wait to meet him. They'd say, oh, I think I'd wait, Father. That's okay. I'll wait for the next person to show me Jesus. But it's something I think we need to look at our lives and think. And so I purposely, when I gave my first talk, I was the keynote at down in Jacksonville on Friday night, and I thought, not abrasive. Don't be abrasive. Don't be abrasive. Don't be abrasive. And I wasn't abrasive. It was the first time ever I had to get an hour-long talk with no abrasion. And in fact, Peter Herbrick, who's another great speaker, unlike me, he gets up and he says, Father, are you okay? You weren't strong at all. And I go, But what it made me do when I was reflecting on these readings is thinking, do we show people Jesus? Is that the point? Because again, Father Larry Richards ain't going to bring anyone to God, is he? Nope, Jesus will. And so I got to make sure that when people look at me, they'll see Jesus. Now, we'll all show different sides of the face of Jesus. Of course we will. But the purpose of our life must be that we show people Jesus Christ. And I think one of the first things we got to do when we work on that is what we look like, huh? Are we people that know we're going to live forever? And if we know that we're going to live forever and we know that we are loved by God, we need to tell our faces. Because sometimes you look like we're constipated, huh? We just do. You know, again, even of our own community, me being one of them, but some of you too who say, I'm a great follower of Jesus, and there's never a smile on your face. Never, ever, ever. What is with that? Why are we like this? I'm saying I'm like this too, but you, there are people here that I'm looking at right now, away from, that never smile. That's why people are not attracted to Jesus when they look at us. So the first thing we got to do is make sure that I am putting a smile on my face when I'm at church, when I'm at other places, when I'm telling people about my story of Jesus. Then we got to smile. It just got to be the way it is. And the second thing is when people come and see Jesus, Jesus starts saying, now must the Son of Man be glorified, and I must glorify the Father. And so the second thing that has to happen for people to see Jesus is we need to live a life that doesn't support ourselves and build us up, but everything we do is to glorify our dad. So again, the second thing we have to examine, do we try to glorify our Father by the way we live? Are we pointing people to our Father, or are we drawing people to me? And again, something I have to examine my life about and make sure. I try, honest to goodness, every time I go anywhere and every time I speak, I really want to bring people to God, not to me. But me gets in the way. And so I got to keep examining my conscience. Am I glorifying the Father or am I glorifying me? And then finally, the way we show people Jesus and the way people can see him is he says, I must give up my life. Right? It says, when I am lifted up, I will draw all people to myself. And the way we draw all people to Jesus is when we live a life of selflessness, when we live a life where we give away our life every day. And again, when we give away our life every day, we just can't be complaining about it like I can do. We got to do it for the glory of God. And then smile about it. And then say, Father, I do this to glorify your name. So first, the one question everybody asks you and me silently, whether we know it or not, sir or ma'am, I would like to see Jesus. So let's examine our lives. Do they see Jesus Christ when they look into our eyes? And to make sure that that happens, we got to smile. We got to glorify our Father. And we got to lay down our life. When we do that, they will no longer just see us, but they will see Jesus Christ living inside of us. You got it? Get it? Gonna live it? May each of you know his love today and forever. Amen. That was a little